gospel. Why bother seeking the salvation of lost souls? If God is sovereign and God is in control and everything's going to work out according to his plan and purpose, why bother to evangelize? And we answered that question, the first part of this message, by looking at several passages of Scripture. First one was Romans 5, where we're told God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God proved, God showed, God demonstrated his love for us in having Jesus Christ die for us while we were yet sinners. He proved he loved us by having Jesus die for us. On no account of our goodness or our righteousness, but we were sinners, and he commendeth his love toward us. While we were yet sinners and having Christ die for us, he loved us so much, he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But they can't believe, we couldn't believe in him whom we have not heard of. So God saw fit, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 11 through 15, for us to hear. He sent somebody, a preacher, a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, a parent, maybe a neighbor, maybe somebody you just met, kind of as a fluke thing, who was a Christian, who had a burden for souls. But he caused and he allowed us to hear. And in revealing all this to us, and saving our souls and granting us faith to believe in his Son, he caused us to experience all this love that we're speaking of in these passages today. All the love of God. You find it more than once in 1 John, where we're told God is love. And in the saving of our soul, he has allowed us to experience that statement, God is love. I know God is love because he loves me. I know God is love because he loved me. Sent his Son to die for me when I was yet a sinner, proved his love for me by having me hear the gospel, opening my ears and my hearts to hear and receive the gospel. And we know that we love God in return. And we would not have loved God in return had we not first come to the knowledge that he loves us. We come to the knowledge that God is love because he loved us enough to send his Son to die for us. We know God is love because, having experienced his love, we love him in return. And because he has loved us, and we've experienced that love, we love our brother and we love one another. Why evangelize? Because we've experienced the great love that God had for us. Then we love sinners. We should love sinners. We should have a concern to see them come to know the Lord. That's why evangelize. It's occurred to me that most of the preaching and teaching about witnessing is approached from the side of it being an obligation. An obligation speaks of burden, speaks of drudgery, speaks of having to do something. Feeling obligated to witness, is never going to draw us to witness. But if we think about the love of God, the love that God had for us, the love in return we have for Him, the love we have for one another, and we let love motivate us to seek the lost, I believe we'll be much more involved in evangelizing, much more involved in witnessing. We'll just read a few verses here from 1 John 4. Then we're going to answer the question, why evangelize, with a three-point message tonight. Let's read verse 9 through 14. Let's read verse 15 also. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify. There it is. Did you hear that? I preached up a storm already. We can all say amen and go home. And say, Brother Titus really preached one. But I'm not going to let you do that. And we have seen. Here's the result of all this thought about the love of God, the love we have for God, the love we have for one another, the love we should have for sinners. Here's the culmination of all this. We have seen and do testify. We have seen, we've experienced, and therefore we do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. We have seen and do testify. All because of this wonderful thing called the love of God. Knowing God loves us. Let me just say this as we move along and hasten along. There is no right, there is no claim to knowing God loves you outside of Jesus Christ. You can't claim that God loves you or that God is your special friend if you do not know His Son, Jesus Christ, because in this the love of God was manifest. He sent His Son. The only way you can know God loves you is if you're saved, born again. And I think it flows through. The only way you can really love a sinner, care enough to witness to them, is if you've experienced this love that we're talking about. 3 points we want to make in part two of this message. Why evangelize? Why witness? 3 simple points. Point number one, why evangelize? Because man has a great need. Man has a great need. We can't comprehend how great the need the individual sinner has. Point number two, we have what they need. They have a great need, the greatest need that can be known to a human being. And we have what they need. And the third point will be, Jesus satisfies their need. Man has a great need. We have what they need, and Jesus satisfies their need. That's why we evangelize. Again, not making it obligation, but because of love. Feeling care and concern for the sinner and the plight that they are living under. Feeling a need to, because of love, share with them the solution that is within our hands to their condition. And know, by love being motivated to share with them what is within our hands, knowing it satisfies their need. What we have within our hands, what we have within our knowledge and our experience, never falls short in meeting man with his greatest need. Jesus will never fall short. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Revisiting this morning's passage. John chapter 6. I felt like saying this morning, amen. Every time Brother Luke said Isaiah the wrong time, I resisted. It can happen to anybody. Harkening back a few weeks to when I was goofed up between Isaiah and Jeremiah. But notice here in our text from this morning, the great need that man has. Murmur not among yourselves, Jesus said in John 6, verse 43. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, and he hath seen the Father. No man can come. We just want to put emphasis on that statement from Jesus Christ. No man can come to me. Jesus speaking of himself. He's the preacher. He's the witness. He's the teacher of the text. And he declares unto those that would murmur at what he had to say and what he was teaching and how he was presenting himself as the bread of life. He declared, no man, that's inclusive of everybody that was within the sound of his voice, nobody here can come to me. The only way you can come to me is if the Father draw him. The only way that one can come to Christ is if they're taught of the Father. If they've learned of the Father, if the Lord God has drawn them, has quickened them. So man's got a big problem. He cannot come. He's incapable. He has no ability to coming outside of God's grace, God's working. That's a big problem. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, but you can't come to me and have life. He said in John 6, verse 53, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. No man can come. That's how bad the problem is. All are dead outside of Christ. Dead spiritually. That's how bad the problem is. Being dead is as big as your problem can get. Lacking life. Jesus was not talking about physically devouring, physically consuming his body and his blood. He wasn't talking about the doctrine of transubstantiation that Catholics hold to, where they believe in the observance of the Mass that the bread and the wine actually turns in mystically to the body of Christ and they're consuming Christ. That's not what Christ was talking about. He was talking about receiving him by faith, believing he died for them, by faith, believing he shed his blood for them, by faith, taking in the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. The just shall live. How's the just going to live? How can they have life when they come into this world dead? They live by faith. They live by faith in the one that God sent. Romans 3 tells us all have sinned. All have sinned. Everybody has the sin problem. Everybody has the inability within themselves to come to Christ. Everybody is dead spiritually. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Chapter 6 of Romans, the wages of sin is death. That's how bad man's problem is. That's how bad man's need is. Why bother witnessing? Because of man's great need. Everybody comes into this world a dead sinner. This room is full of dead sinners. Praise God, it's full of saved sinners. Sinners saved by grace, but we're still yet full of many who are dead in their trespasses and sins. And then we've got a big problem. So we evangelize because every man has this problem. And we evangelize and we witness, second of all, because we have what they need. We have what they stand in need of to solve the problem that they have. Romans chapter 10. Romans, the 10th chapter. Revisiting some verses from this morning. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, there's a great and glorious promise. Whosoever shall call. But we've just read about how bad the problem is. Man's dead in his trespasses and his sins. Man cannot come to Christ. They're dead spiritually. They're sinners. So this verse says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, verse 14 asks the question, well, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Man's need is great beyond his ability to change his lot. But we who are saved have what they need. It's the good news. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But they can't call until they believe. They can't believe until they've heard. And they can't hear until somebody tells them the good news. That's why verse 15 says, quotes, I think it's from Isaiah. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings and good things. You find the gospel mentioned, and then you find a definition of the gospel. The gospel means, pretty simply put, the good news. The glad tidings. The glad tidings of good things. So we have what they need. That's why we should witness. That's why we should be missionary. That's why we should preach the gospel and teach the gospel and seek the salvation of souls. Because of their great need and because we have what they need, the good news. The gospel isn't the bad news about their condition. The gospel is the good news about the remedy to their condition. We go back to Romans chapter 1. Noticing, third of all, the fact that Jesus satisfies their need. Man has a great need. There are some among us tonight who still stand with the great need of being saved, with the great need of having their sins taken care of, with the great need of being made alive in Christ. And we witness and we preach the gospel because we have what they need. And it's simply put, is Jesus. And Jesus always satisfies. He never fails to satisfy the need the sinner has in order to be saved. Chapter 1 of Romans, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, or the gospel of Christ. Paul was very bold about the gospel, his opinion of the gospel, his appreciation of the gospel, because he had experienced it. But not only had he experienced it, but he had been taught of God that man has a need. He was to be a witness because he had what man needed. And that, simply put, was Jesus, who is the satisfying of all need. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is, definitely, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Man doesn't need our gimmicks. God doesn't need our help in preaching the gospel or adapting the gospel to our current culture and society. Man has a great need, and we have what man needs when we preach the unadulterated, unaltered, pure gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that satisfies. The wonderful thing about the gospel of Christ, it's sufficient to the saving of the worst sinner you could describe. And man can do some horrific things. In the news this weekend, again, is a shooting where somebody just went and I think 10 people were killed at a grocery store. There's got to be something wrong with a guy who can be so messed up, so affected by sin, that he could do such things. And these things are almost on a daily occurrence. Man's abuse and cruelty and barbarity to man. So the worst sinner you can imagine Go and search through our prisons and the most vile and wicked criminal you can find. The gospel of Christ is sufficient to save their soul. Save their unworthy soul. And I know there's a lot of religion in prisons, and a lot of people find religion and supposedly find Jesus Christ when they're sent to prison. But I'm very careful not to discount somebody who's committed terrible things, gone to prison, and then professes to be a Christian. I don't discount that because I know the power that's in Christ, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just could be because there's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let me go to the other side of the equation. It's amazing that the gospel is sufficient to save the most righteous person you could find. Because I kind of have it in my mind that there's no difference between the most wicked and vile person you can think of to the most religious person, churchgoer you can imagine. They're both lost, and their only hope is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the sufficient one to the salvation of both extremes. Amen. Don't think because you go to church, don't think because your family's Christian, that you're not a wicked sinner before God. You are. As all of us were one time. But the good news is Jesus Christ saves sinners. He'll save the most vile and he'll save the most self-righteous. Because Jesus satisfies. Herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, chapter 5 of Romans. I like this passage of Scripture when you think about grace and you think about salvation and the sufficiency of the gospel. It puts it so eloquently. Romans 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Jesus, shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. I love this passage. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. No sin, no degree of sin, no commission of sin can overflow grace. Wherever you find sin, in the depths of sin, the worst parts of sin you can find, grace much more abounds. As a Savior is sufficient to the saving of souls, meeting all their needs. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe this is where the book by Abraham Booth, entitled The Reign of Grace, gets its title. We're talking about man and his great horrific need, and how that we have what man in his horrific need needs, and how that Christ is the sufficient meeting, the satisfying of such need. And wherever you find sin abounding, grace much more abounds. It abounds to eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace reigns. Grace reigns. So God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, he sent his son to die for us that we might believe. We couldn't believe until we heard, so he caused us to be able to hear. And in causing us to be able to hear, he gave us faith to believe, experiencing his love. Because we've experienced his love, he's given us a love that returns back to him, and a love for one another and a love for sinners. That's why we evangelize. And we evangelize because man has a great need. And here we sit with what they need. I don't know how you want to put it, how you'd want it to be demonstrated. If you got a bunch of people in the building and the building's on fire, but nobody knows the building's on fire but you, don't you know that you have what they need? They're in a burning building and nobody else knows it's burning but you do. They have what you need. They need to be warned. They need to be told. Get out. The building's on fire. Man has such a terrible need. And I feel so burdened when I think about God not needing our help. Man has a great need. We have what they need. And Jesus satisfies their need. God doesn't need us to do anything else. He doesn't need us to make it more appealing. He doesn't need us to make it more appetizing, more attractive, easier to swallow. He just needs us to tell it like it is. Because man has a great need. We have what they need, and Jesus always satisfies the need of the one who believes. They came to Paul and Silas, the prison keeper. And he said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the answer was pure and simple: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Do you need to be saved tonight? Can you believe? Will you believe? Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again for you. That's the message that God would have us to tell every sinner we have opportunity to. Let's stand together.